everybody, and welcome to episode 333 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Oh, I just realized I went back to the old way of doing the show. Intro, that is. And you know what? That just feels right. Anyway, this is your host, Mark Cugenez. The last few episodes in particular have been a bit fraught with audio issues, and they've kind of plagued the show for a while now. Hopefully, they have been fixed to some degree now. I apologize, but, you know, equipment is equipment. You can't really do much when you don't have a lot of money coming in from podcasting to spend on podcasting equipment. Anyway, that's not why I'm here to talk about, but I do hope the audio sounds better now than in the last few episodes and change. But what I'm really here to talk about is the Nintendo Switch, as well as a game I got a code for, which I'll hit after the Nintendo Switch news. Anyway, so the Nintendo Switch press conference was yesterday, which was, what, the 12th? At 10 p.m., which was kind of surprising to have a press conference that late, coming from Nintendo at least. And they gave a good amount of details. And from those details, I can firmly say I have absolutely no interest in picking up the Nintendo Switch. And the reason for that is really two reasons for me specifically. One, it's $300. And, you know, $300 isn't bad when you compare it to iPads or anything like that or other consoles. But $300 for an additional console is a bit much. And $300, I think, for those who maybe are looking for picking up another console or a console for their kids, that's a lot of money to ask. And I don't think they're going to be hitting the mass markets with that. I think with that price tag, they've positioned themselves to sell to those who owned a Wii U. They are selling the Switch to the Wii U. And then on top of that, the battery life is said to be around 2.5 to 6 hours, depending on what you're playing, what you're doing. And that is just terrible. I would have said, you know, for me, 4 hours should have been the minimum. That's like what would have been acceptable for me at this point. 2.5 is ridiculous. That's, you know, barely enough to make 2 round trips on a train run for me at least. I just think that is an abysmal number, though not at all really surprising. And then the memory is 32 gigabytes, which may be fine because of the size of games. I don't know, because I'm not really still sure exactly how powerful it is. I don't think it's as powerful as the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. I think it's probably still very similar to the Wii U, slightly more powerful. But I just look at it and I don't know who the system is for other than Wii U owners. And of course, I said this to Lunchbox on Twitter, Vita owners. But I think really it's just, it is what the Wii U should have been, but it's too late for that. If this is what Nintendo released back in 2012, on November, I think, 18th, 2012, I would have been all over it. I think, I don't know if it would have been a success, and who knows, this may end up being a success, because who knows how anything plays out. You look at the Wii, and it's just like, oh, this is a joke with a stupid name, and then it just sells like crazy. Of course, it wasn't supported in the long run from third parties, because there was no attach rate, but it sold a lot of consoles. I just look at the Switch, and I'm like, this, because it really is what the Wii U always should have been, because it's a tablet device, home console hybrid thing, where you can take the tablet on the go with you. It's not forced to be tethered to, well, not tethered physically, but, you know, within 30 feet of a range of the home device. So it's like they looked at the failures of the Wii U or what people wanted and expected it to be, and were like, okay, let's actually make that. And it took them almost 5 years to do it, and now it's here. And the marketplace, I just don't think is going to care as much, because when you look at it and compare it to as the same price as an Xbox One and a PlayStation 4, I don't see a real reason to pick it up unless you're a huge Nintendo fan. Because even though they've listed companies and publishers who will be supporting it at the very beginning, at least, I don't think it's going to get the mass support that the other platforms have. And I'm sure, I mean, we've already seen discounts on the consoles to this point where they've been at like $250, and they also, all of them at this point, I think, come with games bundled. I'm sure we'll see some nice deals on March 3rd for both Xbox One and PlayStation 4 systems. And those already have huge install bases where your friends are playing them. So if you're looking to pick up a new console and you haven't picked up one yet, unless you really love Nintendo, and if you really love Nintendo, you probably already own a Wii U, and maybe that's all you own because you love Nintendo so much, you're not going to be that inclined to pick up a Switch. The only thing that I could see helping the Switch sell numbers is if the 3DS dies soon. But at the same, and I don't know how that is all working out, because I feel like I haven't seen a lot of 3DS consoles at my local Best Buy, but I feel like there are a lot of them at Target every time I go. So I don't know what the production is for that, if they're getting around to ending that. And the games, I don't think, are coming out that frequently for it, but if the Switch does sooner than later become the only Nintendo device, then that could help push it, because there will still be, I mean, you know, I of course like the idea of having this console that, you know, I could play on my TV or take it with me, that can play real Pokemon games and real Animal Crossing games and real everything games. But at the same time, I don't really need it, and $300 is a lot to ask at this point. And when you also have Scorpio on the horizon and what that might be, and maybe if you have a PS4 and you're like, oh, I want to Switch, but I also want PSVR because that looks really cool, then what are you going to do? PSVR is a unique experience, whereas Nintendo is just, okay, Nintendo game. I mean, it's just what Nintendo has really always been. If you want to play Nintendo games, it's the device you'll need to get. But how many people care enough at this point? I don't know if there are that many. I'm sure they're hoping that stuff like Super Mario Run and Pokemon Go and Pokemon in general, since it'll probably be the platform for the next big real Pokemon game, will all flock to the Switch and, you know, try to get people that way. But I just don't know. And then on top of that, they're going to be charging for their online service. You'll be able to get, okay, so this is what it is according to their own website. The paid service lets you take your gaming up a notch with online multiplayer and exclusive benefits. Standard online features such as system and game updates will be free for all Nintendo Switch users. Of course they will be. It'd be if any system charged you to update your games, like, this game is broken at launch, to get a patch for it that fixes it and makes it playable, you're going to have to sign up for our online service, and it costs, you know, however much a month. They haven't listed a price, and it's going to be free until, I think, the fall when they get all the details worked out. But the thing about it is, like, the online multiplayer is just, who really does that on Nintendo devices at this point? Maybe it'll all change with Nintendo Switch, but I don't know about that. And then they're doing something like the free games with gold and PlayStation Plus free games, but it's, the way they word it is very kind of concerning, and it's also not that much. Monthly game download. And this won't be at launch. This will be for the fall when it's, you know, a charged system or whatever. Subscribers will get to download and play a Nintendo Entertainment System or Super Nintendo Entertainment System game with newly added online play for free for a month. So that last bit in that sentence is what really concerns me, because it makes it sound like you will get to play one original Nintendo game and Super Nintendo game for free for just that month, and then after that, it's gone. And if that's true, then, I mean, one, on Xbox, what, we get 4 games a month, 2 every 2 weeks? And then on PlayStation, I don't know, it's like maybe between 4 and 6 or 6 and 8 or something. You get a good chunk. They just dump them all at the beginning of the month, though. But in both cases, you get to keep the games as long as you have the subscription. And I think with Xbox, the 360 games are, you just get to keep them even if you end up getting rid of Gold. But either way, it's not just for the month. So if it really is just for 1 month, that's kind of crazy. And also, it's an original Nintendo game and a Super Nintendo game. Okay, they should just let you keep those games, even if you get rid of the service. Because how much effort do they have to put in there? You know, the online play might be a little bit, but really, it's just emulation. That's it. You know what? Screw you. I'll just go get an emulator and download ROMs. But yeah, I don't know really how well the Switch is going to do. I'm sure it'll probably sell well in the beginning because most consoles sell fairly well in the beginning. And with Nintendo's track record, they are, in terms of production and everything, not that great. You look at the mini NES and everything, their various versions of 3DS models and stuff. I don't trust them as a manufacturing company getting stuff made, whether it's intentional or not. But I think the price is awful. I think it should have been $250. I think at $200, it would have been a killer device that everyone would have picked up. I think $250 was the absolute ceiling and what they needed to hit for it to be something a lot of people would consider who wouldn't otherwise. And I think $300 just makes it stand right next to the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, both of which have been on sale for cheaper or, you know, have had various promotions and will very likely have such promotions and sales when this comes out. And I just am like, well, okay, good luck, Nintendo. I don't want to see Nintendo fail, but this is not my worst nightmare because I wasn't expecting the world or that hopeful for the Switch. But I woke up and saw the news and I was like, you gotta be kidding me, Nintendo. God, why'd you do this? But yeah, those are my thoughts regarding the Nintendo Switch. I just don't know. I don't know who it's for other than Wii U owners, which if the only people who buy the Switch are Wii U owners and maybe, you know, a few million other people, that's not really going to be that great. But yeah. And also, like, to me, if I had a kid and I was looking to get them something, I would get them, you know, an iPad mini or something along those lines instead of a Switch, because the cost of games is a lot cheaper. You can get a lot, and you can give them other experiences, like, oh, here's a interactive novel, here's a kind of, you know, learning tool thing, and stuff like that. It gives them a lot more things to experience. The battery life is way better. They'll also be able to watch various videos on platforms and stuff like that. I just don't see why I would get this for a kid, which I think is something that Nintendo really wants out of their audience, because they've always been the family-friendly console maker. And also, the weird thing is, I believe the Joy-Cons, which attach to the screen, they'll be selling those separately as well. You can get additional ones for, I think it was $80. And then you can buy an additional dock for around $90. I think those are the price ranges they're shooting at or have been mentioned, which means the screen is a little over $100, you know, $125, whatever, which is just weird. And also, you get 720p when it's not docked, 1080p roughly when it is docked, so there's that boost in the dock. So there is stuff going on in the dock, but still, that's pretty cheap for that screen. And then they'll be selling, I guess, a pro-ish controller for $70, which seems like a lot of money Because I think, unless I'm wrong, the DualShock 4 and Xbox One controllers are $60 when they're not like, oh, look at this fancy skin, this limited edition color. I think they're $60. So it's $10 more than those. And I don't know what would make it that special to make it worth 10 bucks more. But yeah, I am not feeling the Switch at all. And I can't see myself picking one up anytime soon. Unless there's like a great Black Friday deal that puts it at 200 bucks or something. So, moving on, I got a code for Rise and Shine for the Xbox One. It is from Adult Swim's Games, and it is developed by Super Awesome Hyper Dimensional Mega Team, which is a mouthful. And it just came out today. I've had a code for a week or so, and I've been playing it. And it's so disappointing. It's a really, really pretty game. It is really, really pretty. The art is just gorgeous. It is so beautiful to look at. But then I started playing it, and I was like, this is not fun. And it just kind of broke my heart. So first and foremost, before I hit the gameplay, the story is very referential. And it's kind of heavy-handed and not that clever and not very funny. So that got pretty tiring. And there are moments where you have to read a lot of dialogue. And it was just like really draining because it just wasn't funny. To give you an idea of the story and whatnot, I'll give you the short little description on the website. Welcome to Game Earth. A once peaceful planet now threatened by the warmongering space grunts of Next Gen. In the aftermath of their devastating first strike, a child named Rise is forced to take on the sacred gun Shine, and with it, the fate of his world. So, I mean, there are characters who look like, I mean, the legendary hero looks kind of like Link, and there's just a bunch of, hey, this is, you know what we're talking about game-wise and all that, jabbing you in the rib nonstop. And it wasn't working. But I also am not a huge fan of referential humor. Not when that's all there is. I don't mind referential humor when it's like a cherry on top of an already funny script and whatnot. But that's not really there in Rise and Shine. The real problem with it is that it's not fun to play. The gameplay is really lackluster. And maybe it feels better with a mouse and keyboard because it's available on Xbox One and Windows. So you can pick it up on Steam. And the problem with it is it's really hard and not hard in a good way. It is incredibly frustrating because the controls and the gameplay just doesn't feel good. It's not really a run and gun shooter. Because you're not going to be shooting like crazy, in part because to shoot your gun, you have to, one, press the left trigger to pull out your gun, then you have to use the right analog stick to aim the gun, and then you press the right trigger to shoot your gun. And you can't hold it to just keep shooting like a machine gun. You have to press it. And that feels okay, but you're not in many situations where you're just running and gunning. You'll find cover, and you get in cover, you press the B button, you lock into cover, and then you have to pop out whenever you're not getting bombarded with bullets, though you can shoot bullets to make them just explode in there. But those situations aren't that fun, because sometimes you're just like sitting there waiting for the bullets to stop barraging you. And if you get hit, I think maybe twice, you're dead. And it's a bloody death. The game is rated M. And it's because you die in gruesome ways. And I don't know if they thought, oh, this is kind of, people like this, like in Limbo or games like that. Maybe they do. I don't find anything particularly enjoyable about that. Not that I have anything against it, but I just, like, it's okay. I died in a gruesome way. Great. I guess I'll see this again and wait 5 seconds to restart because it takes, you know, just enough seconds to make it noticeable every time you have to restart. But the thing that really sucks about it is that the aiming just, it doesn't feel precise. And that's why I think with a mouse and keyboard, you probably get better precision with it. So when you're shooting an enemy, sometimes you'll be shooting in what you think is their direction and you keep missing because you're just slightly off because it's just not that great to aim with the analog sticks. The real bad part, though, is they have some puzzles scattered throughout where you are able to control the bullet. So you shoot it and then you're able to control it and move it around. And you have to navigate these tight spaces and it's just not that tight. The controls are not tight enough. And there are times where you also have to reach something out of place. And to do that, you have to be maneuvering through these areas. And then you have to shoot. You have to then, because you can only control the bullet through certain areas that are like, I don't know, there's like a little like Wi-Fi radius kind of thing. And when you get out of that, then you lose control and you won't be able to do something. So then you can fire the bullet and just do like a boost in the direction you're holding. There's a section pretty early on where you're going through this section and you have to then hit a button. I had to do that, I don't know, at least 5 times because I would be slightly off every single time if I made it all the way to the end. And it was just frustrating because the controls were not tight enough to allow me to accurately do it once I got there. And it wasn't on me. You can blame me. I don't blame myself. Because I feel like just throughout the entire experience, the controls never felt like I was fully in control or had the precision I desired or expected to have. And the same goes with some boss battles where you have to do it. And like, okay, I keep missing and I don't have that much time. So I can't just be like sitting here trying to line it up perfectly. And it's just really, really frustrating. And it just was never fun. I had no fun playing the game. It's also very, very short. I didn't finish it because I wasn't enjoying myself. But I played a few hours of it. And I think I'm about halfway through based on the scene selector. And from what I've heard from other people, it is fairly short. So I would say, including all your deaths and all that kind of jazz, it's probably maybe like a 3-4 hour game. Probably 4 hours. If you somehow managed to never die and just got through it really easily, then, 2 hours maybe. And it's a 2-hour experience that doesn't have much substance. It is fueled by a story that isn't very funny. And yeah, I don't know what reason you'd ever have to go through it again. So I just can't recommend it because it's not fun and it's so short and there's no reason to invest in it right now. Wait for, I can't see an update fixing my problems with it, but If it's on sale, then it would be worth it for people who maybe are fans of hard games, even if they're hard for the wrong reasons. But yeah, Rise and Shine was something I was really hopeful for because I saw, videos of it and screenshots, and I was like, man, this looks pretty, and it looks like it could be fun. I like shooters and stuff like that, but it wasn't what I was expecting. There aren't many shooting sequences. There isn't a lot of action, actually. And the attempt to try and make it a little puzzly with the user-controlled bullets does not work. And yeah, that was really, really disappointing. So that will do it for today's episode. I hope y'all enjoyed it. I do hope the sound was better today. And yeah, I guess soon I will hopefully be podcasting about the new anime from the season. But until then, once again, I'm your host, Mark Cousinez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, my anime list, all the usual places, at PX Sausage. On PSN, I'm the Kush3. That is the KUSH, the number 3. I just got Last Guardian from Gamefly in today, so I'll finally check that out. And that'll be a thing. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, the other podcasts we all do over there, and the art I do, which, if you like, you can go over to pxsart.com and pick up a print or two there. And if you really want to support the site and like what we do and want to show your love and support for us, it would be really, really, really appreciated. And it would just make us feel nice and warm in our tummy tum tums. I don't know why in our tummy tum tums, more so in our hearty heart hearts. But you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and chip in a little bit of support that way. So that will do it. Once again, adios. I don't know what I'm doing right now, but I'm just gonna leave. Okay. Bye. Bye.